This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, the Major League Baseball trade deadline is over, and we're left kind of putting back together the pieces of what the Rockies did, or I guess kind of didn't do yesterday. Joining us, Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies. They did make a couple of moves, Spencer, but I don't know necessarily any of the big ones that certain Rockies fans wanted them to land, a Hunter Goodman, a Mickey Moniak. In fact, the opposite of Mickey Moniak, not only they didn't trade him, they gave him a two-year contract extension.
Yeah, if you would have told me when we talked last week that, hey, they're going to make four trades and they're going to trade four major league level players for eight prospects, I probably would have told you it's a successful deadline. And then when you find out which players they actually ended up dealing and which players they ended up keeping, it felt a little bit underwhelming, but it's not nothing. Let's put it that way. I do think that they added some lottery tickets, if you will, in the farm system, and a 16-year-old shortstop, a guy that was born in 2009, which made me feel extremely old. And then you got some prospects that are pretty close to the major league level. One of the guys added to the active roster yesterday, and we'll probably see here at the major league level, and maybe another pitcher that we'll see get some starts later this year. So a nice mix of some really young guys, some talent, some hope for the future, but they also didn't mortgage the rest of this season or trade any of the big names that we thought they might coming into yesterday's deadline.
And Spencer, I want to ask you about the prospects and everything too. You're just much better at that kind of thing than I am. You follow this closer. But as far as the message that this sends, what do you take from what the Rockies said with the moves they made and, again, the moves they didn't make?
You know, I think it says a lot about how they feel like they've built a new culture in just one off season and half or, you know, three fourths of this season. They built a new culture and they've really targeted certain players that they want to play a certain way. And I think Jake McCarthy is a perfect example of this. Jake McCarthy's a guy that, you know, struggled a little bit in Arizona. They traded for him, gave away a prospect that they had gotten actually in the Ryan McMahon trade. So kind of traded Ryan McMahon in a roundabout way for Jake McCarthy, and everybody said, you know, trade Jake McCarthy, his value will never be higher, and I probably said that once or twice too at the same time. And you realize that once you get a guy that not only has excelled in your system and at your home ballpark and having his best season of his professional career, but a guy that kind of embodies the culture, and, you know, he steals bases and he's athletic and he moves runners over and does the right things at the plate, you realize that those guys are more valuable to you than they are to another franchise. And that's one of the things we talked about it a little bit more last trade deadline, but Mickey Moniak was having a good season at that point, and they wondered if the Rockies were going to trade him. And you never know the actual value that Rockies hitters have based on the perceived value from other franchises. You know, a lot of, whether it's fair or not, you know, the Hunter Goodman national talk was a joke because obviously he's hit a ton more home runs on the road than at Coors Field, but the Coors Field park factor always kind of factors into other teams and how they view Rockies prospects. If you notice, for some of the Rockies pitchers, they, you know, didn't even get top level prospects. And then for a guy like Brenton Doyle, who's a defensive guy, they got an eighth overall prospect or eighth ranked prospect in the White Sox system for him, who has had, he's played, you know, just played two games after being back from injury and hasn't been 2 years. So it's interesting the value that other teams put on the Rockies, but I think their hitters take a little bit of a hit in terms of their value because they play 81 games a year at Coors Field.
Yeah, no question about it. I had a couple of texts jumping in here, Spencer, wanting to ask you about Connor Norby specifically. What are your thoughts on him? What they got him in the trade between Victor Vodnik to the Marlins.
You know, what's funny about guys like Connor Norby is, and I maybe have my purple glasses on a little too tight and have put too much trust in this new front office, and I'm gung-ho and hoping that they are turning the Rockies around to the team that we had in the early to mid-2000s and then the late 2010s. But a guy like Connor Norby is interesting to me because you on the surface, you look at his numbers and you're like, why would you want this guy? But it was the same exact thing that they did with Troy Johnston this offseason. He was a minor leaguer, had kind of very small sample size in the major leagues, not great stats, and look at what a really good utility player Troy Johnston has become for this team. So whenever this team targets guys that don't make a lot of sense, it actually excites me from the fact of, like, Connor Norby never really stuck at the major league level for the Miami Marlins. And it's like, is this going to be another Troy Johnston situation? You know, ironically, they come from both the same franchise, but is this another situation where DePodesta and company see something in this guy that no one else can see, or can get something out of this guy that no one else can see when you just look stats? So it's exciting. And you do have a few guys on this roster, like an Edward Julian, potentially a Willie Castro, who are kind of fill-ins for this year, but you don't know where their future lies. And the Rockies, from the jump, when this new organization and new front office took over, they told us that they're going to have guys that are major league ready playing at the major league level. They're not going to jump prospects up just to jump them up. And Norby is a perfect example of a guy that could be in your AAA, on your AAA team, down playing in Albuquerque or on the major league club. And he's not maybe the greatest player of all time, but he's also a major league baseball player. He's not a double A player that's trying to play major league games. So they just added a little bit more depth, but some of that depth that they added, as I said earlier, is a little closer to major league ready than we kind of expected. And then some of the guys are so far away, they can barely drive a vehicle.
And that's the thing. Like, that's where you kind of have to trust the organization in a lot of that capacity. Because when you talk about prospects, I mean, aside from watching these guys every day, you kind of have to take the people that are running the show, the higher ups, you kind of have to take their word for it on some of these dudes.
Exactly, and you have to do a good job of scouting and a good job of paying attention to players that fit your mold. And I really think the Rockies have an interesting, they have a different mold than a lot of MLB teams. And obviously, I'm not even talking about ownership and the level of money they spend on players or what their current players' contract situations are. But in terms of the guys and the style of play that they want here, I think they target guys that aren't necessarily flashy or important to other teams, but make a big difference here, especially in the steps they're trying to take right now. They're building from the foundation up. A team like the Phillies that has nothing to do with Connor Norby. They probably didn't even look at him, probably don't even know who the guy is. But the Rockies, when you're building up, you're like, oh, hey, here's a young guy that's kind of struggled at the major league level, went back down to the AAA level and is an okay player, but we see something that we like there. And I'm starting to put some trust into them and saying, hey, you know, you like the guy. I don't care if he's the 8th ranked prospect or the 108th ranked prospect on that, in that minor league system. You see something, and every trade they made yesterday was a 2-for-1, which was awesome to see too. I didn't necessarily love like a Victor Vodnik being traded or a Senzatella being traded if they only got one prospect back, but getting two back for each of those guys, even struggling as much as Victor Vodnik, depth and to the farm system and rebuild the overall base level of competition from the single A level all the way to the major league level.
Spencer Smith joining us, DNVR Rockies. What are you hearing, Spencer, as far as their conversations with other teams about Hunter Goodman, Jake McCarthy, Mickey Moniak, even Troy Johnston, as you mentioned? What kind of offers are you thinking they might have had? Because it sounds like the Rockies said, hey, we like these guys. If we are going to move them, we're going to be in a unique position. We're going to ask for a lot if you want us to move on from these guys, which is kind of unusual for the Rockies, uncharted territory.
Yeah, that actually, it gave me some positive vibes. I was trying to look at some silver linings yesterday of why they didn't trade certain guys. And you know, part of that answer could have been the other team wasn't offering enough and the Rockies didn't just trade a guy to trade a guy. They wanted a certain package for X player. And if they didn't get that, they weren't going to just trade him because they felt like they needed to or the fans said they needed to. And I have it on pretty good authority that even though Paul DePodesta in his interview yesterday said they weren't particularly close on some of the players, I have it on fairly good authority that Hunter Goodman was borderline, the deal was almost done with, and it was a three-team deal with Tampa Bay and Boston, and it fell through the morning of, so yesterday morning of the trade deadline, because I don't think the Rockies could get quite the players they wanted. But I will say, seeing the offer and the trade that went through for Adley Rutschman, who's obviously a former number one overall pick, so kind of in that Mickey Moniak category, hasn't been great, but you see the value and you see the potential there. I think the Rockies could have gotten something like the Orioles got for Adley Rutschman for Hunter Goodman, and maybe they're asking price in terms of they wanted the number one overall prospect, and I believe the Red Sox sent the number two and the number five and then another top 10 prospect for Rutschman, who's not near the offensive catcher that Hunter Goodman is. So I think what it ultimately came down to is the Rockies had a value on their players. They stuck to that value, and some guys ended up not getting traded because the other teams weren't willing to pay. And with the looming lockout in 2027, I don't think it was as crazy of a trade deadline as we've seen in the past. And I think that kind of hurt the Rockies in terms of teams not being willing to give up a lot of their high-level prospects, not knowing what the season is going to look like next year.
Spencer, last one for you. You guessed it. Not knowing what the season is going to look like next year. Give me some good news, man. Is there any saving this? Is there any chance we don't go to a lockout next year?
Well, I don't think so. I think there will be some sort of a lockout. You know, we may not have baseball until June, which will be pretty unfortunate. Hopefully our Avalanche and Nuggets can carry us through May into June, and then we can parlay that into Rocky season in the early part of June. But the very interesting part about this whole CBA negotiation is this may be one of the first times, if ever, that CBA negotiations in a professional sports league will have most of the popular vote, if you will, or not actually the vote, but most of the population outside of the league siding with the owners rather than the players. And I think that's what we're starting to see. You know, you look at the moves the Dodgers make, getting Tarek Skubal at the deadline, and just can't help but think it's unfair. And especially in the Rockies world where, number one, we had the worst season that we've ever had in our franchise history last year. You're trying to build back up, and then you have this gargantuan monster in your division that you have to play 15-plus times a year. And the winning the division feels like it's a 20-year process in the NL West for the Colorado Rockies right now. So a lot of people will be siding with the owners. And, of course, they put out their negotiation piece. The players put out their negotiation piece very far apart. It'll fall somewhere in the middle. But I really do believe that baseball needs to figure out, whether it's a salary floor, salary cap, they need to figure out something in that realm. Because you look at other sports, and yes, there is parity in baseball, and they argue this all the time. Oh, look at all the teams that have won the World Series. But when you look at the abilities and the contracts and the TV deals that certain teams have and other teams don't, and then parlay that with the fact that they're deferring money and in 2035 have a bigger payroll almost than they do now, you just can't help but think it's not necessarily fair to all the teams in the league. And that'll come to a head this offseason starting December 1, and we'll see. But I don't expect baseball to be played in March or April of next year, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a long road, man. Spencer, appreciate you as always. And we'll look to just kind of get back to the rest of this regular season and see if the Rockies can continue on with that quest to not lose 100, which I'm very confident. I'm confident at this stage. It's going to be a tough road, but let's go. We got something to root for.
Yeah, when we talked last week, I told you about the three milestone wins the Rockies still have. That was number 44, obviously winning more games than last year. Now it's number 53 to cash my over 52.5 win bet. And then, of course, that all-knowing number 63, which means you will not reach triple-digit losses for a fourth straight season. So they still kept most of their team together, obviously. A lot of the big core and the pieces that you were playing every day are intact. So this team's been fun to watch. I mean, a three-game sweep over the weekend was awesome of the Kansas City Royals. Kyle Freeland's first ever complete game. So there's some good vibes and good things happening around the Rockies clubhouse. I think it's obviously going to take a few years, but it's looking like it's going in a positive direction rather than the other way around.
Bonus question. Were you shocked about Kyle Freeland? That game with the complete game or with the full game? It's kind of felt emotionally like he was preparing for that to be his final game.
Yeah, it definitely did. And you know, the Rockies obviously had they have two starters in Lorenzen and Freeland that were apparently, according to quotations, on the trade block. I don't know how many teams want to trade for a guy with a 7 ERA that's pitched 100-plus innings this year in both Lorenzen and Freeland. But yeah, that performance on Sunday was incredible. 18 straight set down in the middle of that game. And it honestly shocked me that it was his first ever career complete game.
Me too.
I remember watching, I think it was 2018, he had a no-hitter going into the ninth inning against the White Sox and ended up allowing a hit. And so they must, you know, my memory's foggy from that long ago, but they must have pulled him out and not let him finish the game. So very cool for him and his 251st career start for the Rockies to finally get that complete game. And it was a little emotional, and he's had a rough year. And to see something like that to kind of put the finale on a three-game sweep in the season that they're having, which is obviously, according to their past levels, good, but according to 99% of Major League Baseball, not good. It was a fun little day, and that's kind of what we live for in Rockies world right now. Fun stories, fun days, until we can start seeing some real winning baseball around here.
That's what I love, man. Spencer, looking for the positive here. I'm not saying everything needs to be positive all the time, but there's definitely a positive turn going on with the Rockies, and if you can't acknowledge that, then I think you're just looking for bad news. You're negative Nancy, and you know what? We don't have time for that. So, Spencer, appreciate you keeping it real, bro.
Thanks so much, Brady. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Spencer Smith, DNVR, Rockies. Michael, Rockies. Going to have a lockout next year.
I said 63.
You said,
remember,
50.
I said, like, if they get 63.
Yeah, but you said at the beginning of the season they weren't going to win what?
I think I gave them 50.
Yeah. So.
But I said 63 earlier. If you get the 63, you don't have the, what is it? Three digit losses in a row.
Did you say four? You think there's a possibility they could lose? Oh, I mean, okay, I get what you're saying.
I don't remember if it was 300 or 400 plus losses a season in a row.
Tanner says Norby is going to be the next McCarthy. Well, I mean, are we even sure McCarthy's the next McCarthy right now? I mean, I'm as excited about these guys as the next, but let's give it a full season or two before we are saying this guy's going to be the next this guy. Because I'm still waiting on McCarthy to be the consistent McCarthy. You know? That's the big question around this team. How bad is a lockout going to hurt Major League Baseball? I remember when the NHL went on two lockouts in 10 years, it hurt. That hurt. Hurt my fandom. I grew up a big Avalanche fan. I mean, I was a fan of all of them. I always have been. But after the two lockouts in 10 years, I definitely took a step back. And I was like, I just can't get into this again. And I didn't for a long time. Honestly, not really until I started doing a sports talk show. I don't know that Major League Baseball is going to... I mean, they've made a lot of changes for the better recently. The pitch clock, the challenging thing has been great.
That's great.
Yes, it's been excellent. I don't know. John just texting in, MLB cannot afford a lockout. 1994 just about busted baseball. 1994 ruined the Montreal Expos. They probably would have won the World Series. They would have had a new baseball stadium in Montreal, says John. I just, like, the NFL could survive a lockout. They're all going to survive. Like, it's not like Major League Baseball is just going to go away. It's just, will it be what it used to be? The money. The NFL could go away for a year, and that year it comes back, whew, bigger than ever. Bigger than ever. NBA, NBA, any of these leagues, if you have a lockout and you come back, you're just not going to be nearly as strong as you used to be. I think Major League Baseball's third in line. If they have a lockout, it's going to be harder for them to recover what they used to be. And I think fourth is the NHL. If the NHL has a lockout right now, that would severely hurt hockey.
And I absolutely agree with you on that. I wish I could disagree, but whatever, yeah. What other sports are going on, I think baseball has too many casual fans. Like, you have your Tanner Schwintz, and then you have your casual fans who just aren't going to pick it back up.
See, I think the NFL has a ton of casual fans, but there are more NFL casual fans are more dedicated casual fans than Major League Baseball casual fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's more fans that know who Bo Nix is and will watch the game kind of in passing and not really care than a casual fan of the Rockies who's like, if they're not good, I'm not watching. I don't even care. I don't know who Ezekiel Tovar is. You know, I think the casual fan of the NFL is more of a fan than a casual fan of any of these other three sports.
Yeah, and I think the NBA would be one that could also survive. It'd get hurt, but it would also survive. Now, keep in mind, the NFL and the NBA both have competition of sorts, because there are those people who don't watch NBA, but they watch college. People who don't watch NFL, but they watch college. There's a little less of that now, with college being a lot more about money. But still, like, they have the biggest competition against them, and they're still stronger than Major League Baseball and hockey.
12:40 the time. We'll take a short break here. Tanner Schwint is begging to jump on the show for some reason. I don't know what he wants to talk about. Probably
no,
hockey's the greatest ever. They can survive a lockout. Yeah, he just was a fan like 5 seconds ago.
Stinger is my favorite mascot.
He's become like a pretty good Avalanche fan. I'll be honest, a hockey guy. I will give him that. Let's take a quick break here. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.